Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and I'd like to share a reading with you before I light our first candle. Our first candle is the candle of hope. And so I'm reading from a booklet that we have this year that Unity has published called The Spirit of Christmas. And this is for Sunday, November 29th. Most Christians focus on hope during the first week of Advent in Unity, perhaps inspired by the view that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We contemplate both hope and faith as we spiritually prepare our hearts and minds for Christmas. In the Revealing Word from Unity Books, published in 1959, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore makes this distinction. Hope is the expectation of good in the future. It is subject to time. Faith is the certain knowledge that our good is ours right now. It goes beyond time and space. Think of it as a hope-faith continuum, and we will be talking more about faith next week. Hope arises when we glimpse a new possibility. These glimpses can inspire us to make positive changes. They can motivate us to adopt new ways of thinking and behaving. That said, hope tends to be burdened by a desire for reality to be different than it is. I hope Santa brings me the ultimate Buzz Lightyear. That's a little dated, but that's okay. May mask a belief that I don't have all that I need. I hope I don't get sick. It's tinged with doubt in my body's natural state of health and wholeness. Increase your hope on this continuum and enter the realm of belief. We believe because we have an intellectual understanding of how a thing works. We may also believe because it's what we've been taught. The challenge is that it's possible to have two contradictory beliefs concurrently. For example, I believe in an abundant universe. Yet sometimes, if funds are low, the anxiety I feel betrays a residual belief in lack. Resolving these contradictions is the domain of faith. It's in the spiritual dimension that we experience faith as a deep inner knowing arising from divine intelligence. It's the kind of knowing Peter demonstrates when Jesus asks the disciples in Matthew 16:15, "Who do you say that I am?" Today, Peter's response makes perfect sense to us. But then, when Jesus was perceived as an insurgent, fraternizing with deplorables and provoking authorities, he was Messiah, the Son of the Living God, in Matthew 16:16, was a totally irrational answer, not discerned by any human standard. In other words, Peter was ahead of his time. It was revealed through spiritual knowing, through faith. Blessed are we, for each of us has access to hope, belief, and faith in the Christmas story's promise of infinite good and love everlasting. And from Hebrews 11:1, this beloved statement, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." This reading today was provided by Reverend Kurt Condra, who is a good friend of mine, a beloved friend. He wrote all four entries in this booklet for the Sundays of Advent. He's senior minister at Unity on the North Shore in Evanston, Illinois. And so today we light that candle of faith. I'm sorry, that candle of hope. change positions here. As we change camera positions, ooh, I'm going to be right up close to you today. Yay! Are we good? All right. This is really interesting. I'm used to being able to preach to my phone if I do a video at home for you. But it's different to be doing it in church. So, again, this is not the first or the most dramatic unexpected event for 2020. So this is easy. It's interesting to us that we light an Advent candle. This is a tradition that started a long time ago in the Catholic Church. But for us, it is a reminder and a reframing of those qualities that we appreciate about Christmas. This has been a tough year for many. And as such, and I'm still reading from The Spirit of Christmas, the Christmas season this year may be challenging for some of us as a result of the global pandemic and its toll on our families, friends, and communities. For others, this year's holiday season may be welcome, a chance to rekindle annual feelings of warmth, generosity, and love, allowing us to step away from the stress, fear, and uncertainty that occupied so much of this year. Regardless of where we find ourselves on this year's spectrum, my humble invitation is to consider that we each have the opportunity to connect with at least one of the many threads in the tapestry of the Christmas spirit, something often talked about but difficult to define. And so, my friends, today as we talk about the idea of hope, this may be a year that has challenged your ability to have an experience and to demonstrate the idea of hope in your life. As the reading said a little earlier, it's contradictory to things that we might be experiencing in reality in our own lives. It's difficult for us to hold those feelings of health and wholeness when we're not feeling well. It's difficult for us to remember that life is eternal when we have beloved ones close to us that pass beyond this life into the next one, and we're overcome by our grief enough that we are unable to focus on the life after. It's difficult for us to know that so many are in need, and yet to affirm that there is enough for all, and that we have the resources and the ability to put hands and feet into acts of compassion and giving in order that others have enough. And the thing that fuels all of that is the idea of hope. I want to share with you that hope is not some kind of Pollyanna ignoring of reality. Hope is not about us saying, oh, everything's going to be just fine. I'm just sure that it will. Without acknowledging what's actually occurring, hope is not our escape from reality. It's our ability to deal with reality. And so amidst our fears, our doubts, our disappointments, our grief, our boredom, our depression, we still have that in us which we can call hope. And sometimes it is the smallest little ember that glows somewhere deep in the darkness that keeps us going. And sometimes hope is a roaring, warming fire. Regardless, Hope is something that we carry with us because we know that God life is a life filled with potential for all possibilities. And so with hope, we begin to tap into what those divine possibilities might be. We begin to believe that something different will occur. Let me share a definition with you from J.Y. Kim. He writes in Hope, an Expectant Leap. This is what Christian hope looks like. It doesn't ignore fear, anxiety, and doubt. It confronts them. It holds steady, clinging to peace in the midst of chaos. Through life's many treacherous storms, Christian hope is buoyed by something greater that has happened and something greater that is going to happen again. So, my friends, if you are lacking in that quality of hope today, I invite you to remember a time in which you thought that nothing good could happen, and you discovered that something good did happen. Even the smallest thing, even the thing that you did not expect. And that gives you the impetus to know that something good will happen again. And beloved, I just want to say to you in this practical world that we live in, that if you have not experienced hope because you have depression going on in your life, either situational or chronic. If you've not experienced a glimmer of hope for a month, 2 months, 3 months, I would invite you to visit with a healthcare professional and see if there is an imbalance in your neurochemistry. Because going to a doctor can give us hope. And even Charles Fillmore said, go to God first, and then to man as God directs. So I want to just offer that today, that if hope is not something that you've experienced for a while, there may be something else going on inside you. And it does not take away in any way whatsoever from your divine goodness and from all the qualities of the spiritual life that you hold within you. Sometimes those qualities are hidden away, and we need something to wake them up. So today, I had originally planned to talk with you about hope, and then I was going to answer questions from you in a little segment we haven't done in a while called Ask the Minister. And so we advertised that, and my email address was published, and I got not one question. So I'm assuming that you've got it all figured out and that I have nothing to offer you today on those big, you know, overarching questions about life. If you do, and you just forgot to send it, go ahead and send it and I'll just respond to you in an email or give you a call. But instead, I'd like to share a story with you from Advent. It's called The Wait, A True Advent Story of Hope. And this was written by a woman named Cynthia Millen, and she wrote it on December 23rd of 2017, so not that long ago. So this is The Wait, A True Advent Story of Hope. So just settle in wherever you are, because this is story time. And I want you to just relax and enjoy yourself and be as a little child and let this message come to you in whatever way serves you best. My strawberry blonde, freckled-faced, nonstop mother, Janine, was the youngest of four and as such was hopelessly spoiled. Nicknamed Peaches, she was a very welcome addition to my grandparents after the loss of two babies beforehand. She was also quite a bit younger than her oldest brother, Dick, who graduated high school the year Mom received her first communion. Excuse me just a second. Mouth is a little dry here. It's a little dry here in the room and in the atmosphere. My grandfather, Janine's father, was a foreman on the B&O Railroad. The family moved quite a bit around Ohio and Indiana until settling for the longest period of time in the small railroad town of Willard, Ohio. Dick and Bill, the brother who came 14 months after, had been football and basketball stars at the local high school. Mary, who was a teenager by the time Mom was 8, was already working at the local movie theater. Everyone in town knew who my mom was as she rode her bike from one end to the other with reckless abandon. So I want you to imagine this strawberry blonde, freckle-faced little girl nicknamed Peaches just tearing around on her bike. This is the author's mom. The film and the world stop is the title of the next section. It was on a Sunday in December, and after 10 a.m. Mass, Mom was given her customary dime allowance in order to go see a movie in the afternoon. Even though it was cold, she rode her bike to the Temple Theater in downtown Willard, where Mary welcomed her with a box of popcorn. Bill was home with Grandma. Dick had left home for the Navy after graduation in June. He had wanted to join the Army, but Grandpa did not want his son sleeping in a foxhole. At least with the Navy, Grandpa said, you'd have a clean bed out of the dirt. After training at Naval Station Great Lakes near Waukegan, Illinois, Dick was sent to San Francisco and then Hawaii. The family received frequent postcards of palm trees and hula dancers, and Janine, my mom, could not wait to see what he would send for Christmas. She wanted a hula skirt. Settling in for the 1 p.m. show, Janine started to eat her popcorn. Several minutes into the movie, the film stopped and the screen went black. Suddenly, the lights went up. We are sorry, but the film cannot be shown, and the theater is closed for the remainder of the day. Please come to the desk for your refund. Janine went to complain to Mary, but she was already gone. Hopping on her bike, Janine noticed people running up and down the street and speaking in rushed, hushed tones. Some looked at her with knowing eyes and nodded. Hurry home, more than one said. As she walked up the steps, she could see her mother sitting by the radio attentively, crying. Mary and Bill were sitting next to her, crying and comforting their mother. As Janine stood speechless, her mother collected herself and said, "They've bombed Pearl Harbor. That's where Dick is." Janine could not quite understand what it meant, but she knew that it was terrible and frightening. She hugged her mother and began to cry as well. Shortly thereafter, her father came home. She had never seen him cry before, but he did, and kept saying, "Dick was always such a good boy. Dick was always such a good boy." It was then that her mother said, "As long as we don't know, we always have hope." The next section is entitled Wartime Change. The next few weeks were a whirlwind. Their lives and the lives of everyone in that small town changed dramatically. The town's sons went off to enlist. A scrap drive was announced, and Janine and her friends began to collect scrap metal and rubber in their wagons. Rationing was to be implemented, and Janine's mom knew that food was readily available, such as sugar and meat, would be prized. This would be the last Christmas for a while that they would have more than one dozen Christmas cookies. Big Sunday dinners would be a thing of the past. Janine did not see her dad for 3 weeks. As the foreman, he needed to direct the trains taking soldiers to the coast and assist in other cities as well. The biggest change to their household was the ritual of waiting. Janine and her siblings went to school, and her mother went to daily mass. They came home to do homework at the dining room table as their mother prepared dinner. Sometimes mother would play the piano as she always did, but not as often as in Christmases past. They talked and worked, but all the while the radio stayed on, just in case there might be any announcements. And whenever the telegram boy rode his bicycle by the house, with the brick streets ringing the bell, jingling the bell on his handlebars, the entire household would stop. All other tasks were done mindlessly because their focus, their only purpose, was to wait to hear something, anything, about Dick. As the telegram boy's bicycle was heard, her mother would say a prayer for someone, if not us, who is getting a telegram today. May it be good news. More than once, her mother would remind them that as long as there is waiting, there is hope for good news. Thank God for the waiting. Every night, she would stay up until the wee hours just to listen to the news on the radio. It would be December 23rd, 1941, when they would finally hear the fate of their son and brother. It was not a telegram, but a V-gram, a small one-piece envelope that was opened and read. It came through the slot in the door with the rest of the Christmas cards and letters. Janine remembers that her mother saw it, said a prayer, and kneeled down right in the hallway to read it. Okay. Love, Dick. She sobbed over the tiny envelope as the kids circled round to read it for themselves. Bill took a soup pot and a spoon from the kitchen and played a percussion celebration on the front porch. Neighbors came out up and down the street and cheered. They knew, just as Janine's family knew, about their hopes and fears. My mom died this year, the day before St. Patrick's Day, because God forbid anything should ever mar the celebration of that day. This story, one of many, lives on in our family and is still cherished to this day. How appropriate that in that awful time, 76 winters ago, the best gift was being able to wait and hope for good news. We are all blessed to still be able to celebrate that gift. Even more so now. In that context, remembering that December 7th of 1941, it begins to make our struggles right now seem a little less urgent. It makes our struggles a little bit easier to bear. Oh, we've had to ration a little bit, but usually not our staples. More like, you know, toilet paper, paper towels, Lysol spray. But do you see the blessing for us today is that there is, thank God, the waiting in order to fan the flame of hope. The hope for us is that despite however we celebrated our Thanksgiving and however we celebrate the Christmas that is coming, we will find a deeper meaning. We will focus less on that which is different and focus more on that which is precious and available. And our affirmative prayers are in knowing that hope is in our waiting for that vaccine, for the end of this particular type of death. Our hope lies in the waiting for times when we can join with our loved ones again and embrace them without caution, without reservation. We know that that time will come. We know that something good has happened in the past, and it will happen again. The only thing that changes about the meaning of Christmas this year is how we determine to celebrate it. Excuse me. How we determine whether or not we're going to let Christmas be just as meaningful, maybe even more meaningful, because we will find something in ourselves. We'll find something in ourselves that makes it richer and deeper. We may not be able to light candles with each other, but we'll be able to light candles in our own homes. We'll let you know when we've figured out exactly how the most meaningful way will be for us to celebrate Christmas this year at Unity of Wimberley. Yes, it'll be different. I will miss this sanctuary, this room, and the next room, filled with the light of the candles that you hold, the light that of candles that our children are fascinated with as they watch the wax drip on the little round paper underneath their candle, and sometimes they'll watch wax drip on the carpet. I'll miss that. I'll miss our singing Silent Night as everyone files out of the sanctuary. I'll miss stepping out into the dark when the service is over and going home for Christmas Eve. I'll miss all those things. But as I have said to you before, it's important for us now to be able to reach into our hearts and really, truly know our connection with each other and with God, the great magnetic force that draws us to each other. We'll be able to know it in our hearts, feel it in our hearts, and experience it there without being in the same room. There will be hope in our waiting until we can join together again. And so, beloved, as we move into our time of meditation now, I'll invite you to continue to be comfortable wherever you are. And to let your breath begin to slow. Nice, deep breaths. Inhaling with fullness and exhaling, letting go. And you can keep your eyes open if you'd like and connect with me right here. Or you can close them if the distractions of the world around you make it better for you to have that inward journey with your eyes closed. Beloved, if you can, just look into your heart and imagine it as a beautiful mansion full of rooms. And these rooms have only the most beautiful things in them. Outside of the mansion of your heart, there may be doubts and fears. There may be sadness or loneliness. There may be all those other human emotions that we talked about. But they are not greater than what exists in the rooms in your heart. Throughout this month, we'll be opening those doors and focusing on them and living in them, breathing in them. Today, we open the door of hope. And we may find that living in that room with hope is the other gift of waiting. You remember in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about faith, hope, and love. We'll talk about faith and love in another Sunday. But today we talk about hope as one of those equal gifts. So look into your heart and see where hope abides. See where hope is the flame that lights your way. As you take one step at a time, one day at a time in your journey. And if you are awake and alive and intentional, you will find evidence of hope and expressions of hope and fulfillment of hope in your everyday life. It may be in that unexpected encounter with someone who wishes you well, a stranger maybe. And it revives your hope in the goodness of humanity. It may be in that day of grieving or sadness or loneliness that there's that one ray of sunshine, literal or figurative, and it helps you to remember that whatever you're experiencing now, it won't last forever. And that's what hope is about. So be at peace, beloved. Keep breathing. And as always, I reach out my hands to you to join with you in friendship and love and solidarity, and today in hope. that we might connect with each other, that our experience together right now magnifies our personal experience, our collective good elevates our personal good. So, beloved, be at peace. There is hope here. There is hope all around. And next Sunday, when we light our next candle, the candle of faith, the hope candle will still burn. So remember this. Use this tool in the days ahead as your spiritual gift. And may you and yours be blessed. And may your hearts be lifted with hope. And so it is. Amen.